Haynes Forestry funding is approved in the Alaska operating budget, and we take a look at Haynes and Skagway 4th of July plans. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. There is some good news for the Haynes State Forest. The local forestry office has been in jeopardy ever since the legislature zeroed out its funding 2 years ago. But in the most recent state operating budget, one-time funding for the local forestry post made it through. The spending plan still needs approval from Governor Bill Walker. This was the budget that almost didn't pass, but the Alaska legislature finally came to an agreement and averted a government shutdown just 8 days before the deadline. Now that the dust has settled, Forestry Director Chris Mache says a $102,000 allocation for Haynes survived budget negotiations.
I won't say the pressure's off, but it certainly buys us a little more time to think about how we could develop a long-term plan to continue to staff the office with at least one individual.
Juneau Representative Justin Parrish was one of the legislators who worked to get the Haynes forestry funding into the operating budget.
That position is very important for the local fire prevention and firefighting effort. Also, any place where there's a major timber sales made, I think it's worthwhile to have a forester there to supervise. And, well, shoot, it's that position, that forester, has been a bulwark for the community.
Parrish says there was a bit of arm wrestling involved in keeping the funding intact during budget talks.
But I think some people in the Senate majority understand the importance of remote positions.
Forestry Chief Mache says the $102,000 pays for a 9-month forester salary, along with other expenses like an office rental and vehicle. He says although the funding is just for 1 year, it could help lead to a long-term plan.
Yeah, it definitely buys additional time for us to keep working toward, you know, a long-term solution for this. This could be the first steps toward a long-term solution, but we'll have to see how the FY19 budget process unfolds.
Prior to 2015, Haynes had two full-time foresters. The state fiscal crisis triggered deep cuts to the Division of Forestry, and funding for Haynes was completely eliminated. One of the foresters, Roy Josephson, lost his state job. The department scrounged together enough money to keep a single forester, Greg Palmieri, on the job, but on a seasonal basis.
We couldn't just shut an office overnight, especially in an area where we had a state forest to manage. There's pieces of it that needed to be shut down in an orderly manner.
One of those pieces is wildland fire response. Over the past couple years, the state has worked to transfer that responsibility to the feds. Recently, the U.S. Forest Service took over as the primary responder for wildland fire in the Haynes State Forest.
It just means there's a different primary face for wildland fire response. It used to be that we were the primary, what we would call, service provider there for wildland fire response in the Haynes area, but we were completely surrounded by federal lands, as you know, primarily U.S. Forest Service lands. So they have a fire program just like we do, and so they were agreeable to taking over the Haynes area as the primary responder for fire.
Mache says forest fires are not a major concern for Haynes in comparison to other parts of the state. One of the arguments for keeping a local forester position is the Baby Brown timber sale. The 855-acre proposed sale would be the largest in a generation for the Haynes State Forest. Baby Brown was delayed in June after a successful appeal from a local conservation group. The Department of Natural Resources commissioner said forestry needed to develop land use plans for the entire area before putting the harvest out to bid. Mache says Haynes forester Palmieri will spend much of this summer developing those Baby Brown land use plans. The 9-month position will be supplemented with federal funding for a Tongass National Forest inventory project. Fourth of July festivities in Haines include a parade, mountain run, and lots of pie, but no official fireworks display. Haines also went without a major fireworks show last year. Pyrotechnician Philip Wild used to contract with the borough to provide July 4th fireworks, but this year and last, he instead chose to host a display at 33 Mile of the Haines Highway. The 33 Mile show takes place July 3rd. Wild's son Elliot says the fireworks will start at 10:30 or 11 p.m. and the public is welcome. The Borough Assembly put the kibosh on providing a police presence at the 33 Mile show. Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel said the event organizers requested a police officer make an appearance to help keep the peace. But multiple assembly members, including Tom Morfitt, objected.
To me, this is tantamount to a Mud Bay wedding at the end of Mud Bay Road with 300 people there and the people having the wedding saying, I'd like the police to show up because everybody's going to be drinking. I don't think that's a service we typically offer, and nor should we set the precedent of offering. If something happens badly at 33 Mile, we should respond. But until then, it's the allegation of people having a private fireworks show to police themselves.
The 33 Mile gathering takes place outside of the police service area, which is confined to the town site. On July 4th, between 6 p.m. and midnight, the borough is opening up sections of town for private fireworks. Sanctioned areas include the Picture Point and Port Chilcoot Dock beaches. The Independence Day festivities begin a few days before the 4th, this Saturday. The Haines Fire Department hosts a barbecue at the Fire Hall Saturday afternoon. The ANB ANS Hall is holding pie-themed bingo nights Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. On Independence Day itself, festivities kick off at 6 a.m. with the Fort Seward flag-raising ceremony. Early risers looking for a challenge can participate in the Mount Rapinski Run at 8 a.m. Sign-up starts at 7. Parade lineup begins at 10 a.m. on Main Street. The procession starts at 11 a.m. with Grand Marshal Mike Case. After working up an appetite following the parade and run, residents can check out the Salmon Bake at the ANB ANS Hall from 11 to 3. Clinkett Park will be full of food and activities, including face painting, a dunk tank, nail pounding contest, and watermelon feed. Mud volleyball games start at noon across from the Senior Center, and the Mad Raft Race is at 3 p.m. at Chilcoot Lake. A closing ceremony and flag lowering is set for 9 p.m. at the Fort Seward Parade Grounds. A full schedule of events is located in the June 29th edition of the Chilcat Valley News. Skagway is also gearing up for an event-packed 4th of July. The day kicks off with a children's parade at 9:30 a.m., followed by the main parade at 10 a.m. The Grand Marshals are Duff and Carla Ray. Blaine Merrow from the Chamber of Commerce says after that, there's something going on all day until the Ducky Derby at 5 p.m. in Pullen Pond.
It's the biggest fundraiser for the Chamber of Commerce that we do in the year. And we sell tickets with ducks, and the ducks are numbered to the ticket. And the first one over the line gets $1,000, and then we have six random draws, and they each win $100.
Merrow says there are events for people of all ages during the day, including an egg toss, tug of war, and a bike race in which the slowest rider wins the prize. There are also plenty of culinary options with barbecues and food vendors. If you enjoy competitive eating, there are hot dog and pie eating contests. Merrow says Skagway's celebrations are a great way to mark Independence Day.
And if anybody hasn't experienced a real 4th of July in a small town, this is the day to do it, because Skagway does it right.
The night will end with live music at the Skagway Brew Co. Like Haines, there is no official fireworks show planned. The holiday falls on a busy tourism day. More than 10,000 visitors from four cruise ships will be in town. A full schedule of events can be found in the June 23rd Skagway News. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Have a great weekend.